Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you joined us tonight, and wherever you are receiving this broadcast, we know that this is going to be a blessing to you. My God, we had an awesome time,
mm-hmm.
You know, this past weekend.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
At Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference, I'm sitting here just reviewing some of the video and some of the things from there. And, I mean, the power of God, the word that was released, the prophetic utterance, I thank God for those who came from all over. Amen. We had guests in the house from Texas and Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, they just came from some of every place. Thank God for them. Amen.
Amen.
Let me just say, I know that we have some things that God is about to do for us. We are moving forward. We have a location that we're looking at, a new location that we're looking at, and some other things. So we know that God is definitely moving us in the direction that we need to go, and we're going all the way. Amen.
Amen.
And we know that God is going to bless us with it. Now, before I go any further and get too deep into all of these accolades and thank you, we just want to say thank you to everybody. Amen. But let's turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so she can give us our announcements and our prayer for tonight, and then we're going to get into this word. And let's see what the Spirit has to say to the church on tonight. Prophetess Crystal.
Good evening, everybody. Once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Just want to let you know tonight's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us, Apostle McQueen and myself, for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. That is our website. We do invite you to visit us there and even pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry to help us push and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. For those of you who would like Apostle McQueen or myself to come and minister at your church, we have on our website a contact page. Go there, leave as much detailed information about your program as well as a good contact number, and someone will get in touch with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Also want to let you know, please go to our Facebook page. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. Like us there, leave your prayer requests as well as your praise reports. And someone is touching and agreeing with you, believing that God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to his will. Amen. Amen. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny website, or that webpage, excuse me, that Facebook page. That's really what I wanted to say. Amen? Amen. Now, also, people of God, I just want, as my husband was saying, just want to give another thank you, big thank you, kisses, moi, for everyone that supported us. Can't even name all of the people that were there, but just know, as you're listening to this broadcast, that we love you, and we definitely will not forget what you have done to help support this ministry. We had a time in the Lord. Amen. The prophetic word went forth. Amen. People's lives, people were healed. Amen. People were, lives were renewed. Assignments were refocused. Amen. Even new assignments were given. Amen. By the word of the Lord. Amen. And confirmed. Amen. Amen. Now I just want to go right into prayer and then immediately get into the word of God. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the precious, mighty name of Jesus, we give your name glory. We give your name glory. We give your name glory. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We worship you for all that you have done. God, you have been good to us. You have been kind to us. You have been gracious to us. Father, even now as we come, we humble ourselves before you. We bow ourselves at your feet, at the throne of grace. God, we just ask that you would just begin to move mightily on behalf of your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for forgiveness right now of every sin. Every sin, every action, every deed that did not glorify you. God, anything that is in us, Father, that does not represent you, take it out in the name of Jesus. Cover us in the blood. Cover our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits, our hands. Cover us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us, cleanse us, and make us whole again in the precious name of Jesus. Even now, Father, as the man of God comes to deliver this life-changing word, Father, let it prick our hearts. Let this word prick our hearts. Let the spirit of an unction to do the will of God, spirit of obedience to fall and rest upon us. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, I'm asking that these words tonight will save, deliver, heal, set free, make every pathway straight in the lives of your people tonight in Jesus' name. We give your name glory. We give your name praise. We give your name honor. We thank you. We praise you. And we worship your holy name in all that you have done. Forever giving you glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Wherever you are, people of God, just take a few seconds, take a few moments, and just begin to give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Just begin to thank him today. Thank him for protection. Thank him for keeping you throughout the day. Huh? Thank him for his wisdom, his mercy, and his love and kindness. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. We thank you, Lord.
And amen. Yes, now, thank you for that awesome prayer, that wonderful prayer. We know that God is moving. I'm still spiritually high from this past weekend. I'm not even going to play with it. Amen. God came in and did such a mighty, awesome, wonderful, miracle signs and wonders. We have spiritual sons and daughters, amen, who came in, those who couldn't come, made sure that we knew that they were there, amen.
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 And because they have done so, it's just good to know, when you can see that the labor that's gone forth is not in vain. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
They just came together and did what God gave them to do. We're so excited, amen,
mm-hmm.
that they allowed the Lord to use them. And we want to just celebrate them. Amen. Our goddaughter, Melissa, she just stepped up and just did whatever needed to be done. And I mean, our spiritual son Rayshawn, I mean, our spiritual sons Sean and Tria and all of them. And I'm just excited. It's one thing when you have people who come around you and just do different things, and they're just there, no impact, just present. And then there's those who come around and have impact, and that's where you can sit back and say thank you, Father. You know, love on them and let them, you know, let the kingdom of God be shown through them and through their actions. Amen. Now, I want to look at the scripture that my wife used as a, here we go, used as a foundation for this conference. And up until this point, I have not said anything because I did not want to influence in any shape, form, or fashion what the Spirit was saying. You know, sometimes we're seeking God, and man and woman of God to come along and say X, Y, and Z, and then we'll gravitate towards what we just heard from them and use that in what we're doing. And I was very careful this time to make sure that I did not address any of that. And I didn't want to seem away, but I wanted to be supportive and make sure that I was sensitive to the Spirit. And definitely he spoke. The scripture was, if I would, Nehemiah 2:17. Amen. And I'll just read it here in the New King James Version, starting at the 17th verse. It says, "Then said I to them," you see the distress that we are in, "how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. He, therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Isn't it interesting that, looking at this passage of scripture, isn't it interesting that whenever you have been praying and asking God concerning his plan, his will for your life, the things that God wants you to do, the way that he wants you to do them, direction he wants you to go, that those who are benefiting from where you you being where you are will fight where you're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that? I'll say it like this. Being a musician all of my life, grew up in ministry, and a lot of times you'll have a young man, a young woman who has a musical gift or has the ability to administrate or something else of that nature, and instead of being rewarded for your ability, you seem to be rewarded by being pigeon-tailed, if you will, into this one place. Everybody keeps you there. If you were a musician coming up, then no matter what the word of the Lord is in your mouth, everybody will thank you for that wonderful word. That was deep. Wow, thank you. Hey, could you give me an A-flat? You know, or could you sing this song? Oh, I just love when you sing this song. Regardless of what the word is, People like to try to keep you where you were because they're comfortable with you being there. And I didn't understand it until I got a little bit older, why people like to try to keep you there. Because this is the reason when you begin to move and you begin to tell off on the fact that they haven't moved.
Yep.
You see that? So what happens is God begins to speak to us and tell us what we need to do and why we need to do it a certain way. But the enemy of your soul will begin to tell you you're doing too much. Amen. And those who are following after their own precepts and not the steps of God will see you moving and get upset because you're doing something that should have been done that they won't move to do. So instead of dealing with the fact that it's not done, amen. Huh? They talk about the fact that you're trying to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We understand that here that Nehemiah was a cup holder, amen, in the king's house. And his job was one that brought him close to authority, but it also brought him into a place of danger, amen. He wasn't just there to say that I'm in the king's palace. I'm not just here to be in the king's service. Every time that he drank out of the cup, he was standing in death's way prior to the king. Amen. So if the king, if they had set to kill him, then Nehemiah would have been the first, amen, to get it before the king. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when we begin to look at this, then we see that as he's there, he's in a place that is dangerous already.
Yes, yes.
Second thing is that if his countenance was not right when he came before the king could think or feel that he was going to do something or that he was plotting to do something and have him assassinated because his countenance wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you need to take this to heart because you show up offering God your service, but your countenance isn't right. Your face is all twisted up. You got the attitude that, you know, you just lucky I showed up. But listen, everything that you're doing for God. You're doing in his service. Amen. It's very clear. Whatever you do, do it in the service of the Lord. Amen. So he has to wear a smile even when he's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
You see this? He has to laugh and show glee even when there's nothing to laugh about and his spirit and his is falling. He had to still deal with the fact that these things had to be perfect. They had to be right. The king could not feel anything from him that would make him think that something was awry. He
right.
would be killed. He would be put into prison. He would be executed. He would be tormented. Whatever it would be, the king would do whatever he felt like doing because you cannot be in the presence of the king and bring the king's countenance down.
Right.
You see that? So he was there and he was in a dangerous situation. And when he began to serve regardless and the king began to sense something was the matter, he asked him, "Why? What's going on with you?" And he said, "Well, how can I be happy when my homeland, the place where I came from, the land of my forefathers, is in disarray, disrepair, mm-hmm. walls are torn down." Now, notice this, that Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, and Geshem, all of them were still in that same place. Which brings me to my first point tonight. There are some people who, even though they know something should be done, are happy with the status quo.
Amen.
They don't want things to change. If you want to know something difficult in a church, is the word change. Change means that even though we seek to do better, even though we know to do better, we a lot of times won't do better because change is a hard thing. Do we continue on with the ideological debates that we have? Do we stay with the logical understandings that we came up with back in the 17th, the 16th, the 18th, the 1900s? Or do we move on into what we understand now? See, the thing is, and my wife and everyone will share with you, is that this. We didn't have, and you can study this all the way out, we did not have access to software and to Bible programs that would allow us to take apart the Word of God and get clear understanding. Exegeting a passage took years of understanding what was already there. Commentaries were written based upon people's recollection and understanding of the Word at the time the commentary was written. And we have found in those things that there were some good things, but we have found some things that were erroneous too. So yeah. When you run off looking because you found it in a commentary, instead of going to the Bible and asking God about it, then you'll find yourself preaching something that may not be exactly what the Lord meant. I shared it before. People are walking around giving good word, but not giving the word. And the reason why they're giving good word is because they don't know the word like that. We know they don't know the word like that. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes time for them to prove knowledge in the word, they are silent. Thank you, Father. Listen, there was a young man who asked a question on one of the social medias, amen. And the question simply was stated that he was in a class, and while he was in that class, someone asked a question, and the question that they asked was, if no one ever heard of Christ, had access to the gospel, would they or would they not be saved? You know, would God condemn them to hell? And the thing is not so much that the question is asked. The question was asked to several pastors, apostles, and the like, and the earth was silent. Amen. And I sat back and I was waiting on his pastor to respond to the question so that I could respond, because it obviously comes down to a question of protocol. Amen. You have somebody who you're feeding from your church and you're speaking to them and you're saying different things to them. Amen. And then they have a question. You don't need everybody with an ideal or with an opinion answering that question. Amen. And those who are seasoned understand the need for his leader to answer that question. But the problem that I have here is not so much that it was silent from them. After the pastor has spoken, there was still silence. In other words, there were people who are sitting there making noise because they like the hype of Christianity, but they have no depth, amen, in Christianity. And we can tell that when there's a need for a voice and there's silence. Amen? So they make a lot of noise when there's no need for noise. But when there's a need for someone to cry loud or spare not, they are silent. That's a little upsetting. Amen. So they couldn't say anything because there was nothing for them to say. Amen. Or they had nothing to say. Amen. So simply put, he said, today in a discussion, a young man asked, what if someone never knew Christianity or even Christ existed? Would they be condemned to hell? And he said, which I can't lie, stumped me. Can someone be judged on something they had no knowledge of? And they asked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 men of God, one of them being his pastor. And I sat and waited for the pastor to respond. Right. And when he did, then I responded. Right. Amen. And his answer concurred with what I was going to say. Amen. But on the other four, still nothing. You know why? Because these other four are the ones who like a lot of hype. And even though they may have titles, there's not a lot of depth there. Amen. Lord, help us today. Oh, if we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about it. Amen. Because, see, there's answers that are needed in the body.
Real answers.
And we need to be able to give a steady answer, a good answer, the right answer, amen. Not only that, there are questions and concerns in the Bible. And when people come against the word of God and against the things of God, you need to be able to give, amen, a right now answer, but also defend the gospel. This is not time for your logical or theological debates to come to the forefront. I answered and said, listen, I want to answer, but our protocol would dictate or mandate that your pastor answer first. Since he has answered, you know, then I went ahead and dealt with part of the things that were being said in that post. Amen. Now, when God is speaking to you, people aren't always happy that God has spoken. Sometimes people have a problem, amen, with the call of God on your life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if we let people, and this is why I'm so happy that God delivered me from people a long time ago, as a young musician, I learned that people were smiling my face one day. I played for the concert, played for the revival, played for the service, played for the church. And just as soon as things change or the concert or event's over, you can't find them for a comment. You can't go, you can't find them to give them money. Amen. So I learned not to do whatever I do for people or for anything else, to do it to the glory of God. As I'm doing it for the glory of God, he's going to get the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me go back over to where I am in this passage here, because I don't want to get too far out. Amen. But I learned to be free of people a long time ago. Amen. And it has served us well in ministry, because the gospel doesn't change based on popularity. The word of God is the word of God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we begin to, when I looked at this passage here, sorry, segue back into it, I noticed that Nehemiah is sitting here now. He's dealing with a situation. He's talked to the king. The king has spoken to him. He goes off to do what the king has given him permission to do, giving him letters. And I wish I had time to go all the way back up to the very beginning, because when the king, when God gives you favor in the king's house, in the king's palace, in the king's presence, then you need to walk in favor, because he didn't just get permission to go back and rebuild the walls. He got permission, and he also got letters for the army. He got letters for the supplies. He got letters to feed the workers. He got, you see, he got whatever he needed to complete the task while he was walking in favor. And that's a word to somebody right now. As God has released favor in your life, don't walk timidly. Walk in favor.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to work right there. See, because the devil's afraid that, you know, you're going to walk in that. So he tries to intimidate you out of the supplies, out of the resources.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know God's timing right now is for us to walk full in accordance to his will. We're about kingdom business. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Look. When he came back, when Nehemiah came back, the people had been beaten down so bad, held in that position of defeat. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people who get upset at ministries like ours, because we are preaching the gospel and letting people know that we don't care where you come from. We don't care what you've been through. We don't care what your past looked like. We don't care what the prognosis of the doctor. We don't care what the lawyer, what the jury or what the judge said. Amen. We don't care what your pedigree was. We don't care where you grow up. We don't care what side of the tracks you grew up on, or if you just grew up on the tracks. We don't give a care about none of that stuff. What we care about is you getting your life together. Amen. And developing and maturing. When he got back to Jerusalem, he had to talk to the people.
He sure did.
Because the people have been so used to seeing burned down gates and torn down walls and people running in and you hiding everything and just trying to survive, that that was their state of mind. And there are some people right now who have a status quo. Amen. They live in broken down status. They live in broken down mentalities, broken down emotions. Their spirits broken down. You give them, you tell them that God is about to bless them. They get 2 seconds of a praise, and then they start going back into broke. Amen. Mm-hmm. See, you need to understand that when God sends someone who he has favored and given provision to, and they're going to build up, and they're going to deliver, and they're going to walk heavy in the favor of God that he's placed upon their life. When he sends them to you, then you can begin to walk in that favor as well. When Nehemiah got back, he didn't get back just so he could look great. He got back to do a work, amen, with a favor in his life that will benefit a people. Amen? So here we come to our passage then. In the 17th verse, then I said to them, who is he talking to? He's talking to the people. Amen? Then I said to them, see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us. Amen. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. In other words, this isn't something where, you know, somebody's going to come in and lay hands on you and your life is going to shift and change. There are some things, brother and sister, that you're going to have to develop through. Amen. You're going to have to mature through. You're going to have to matriculate through. That means that you're going to learn on a process that's going to lead you up. It's going to keep moving you forward in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You can't sit over there and look at it. Amen. And think somebody else. See, that's the problem some people are having today, is that they're waiting on some preacher, some man, some woman of God to come and lay hands on them so that they don't have to walk out of some things. Just come and lay hands on me
and take
me out of it. No, we'll come and we'll strengthen you so that you can walk.
Amen.
You see that? Strengthen your legs. Strengthen your knees. Strengthen your ankles. Strengthen your back and your hips so that you can walk this thing out. But after all is said and done, walk it out. Amen. He said, listen, we are in. In other words, he didn't come back saying, I come from the king's house. Look at my letter. Look at who I am. I'm somebody. All these people following me, they're under my charge. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit over here and give y'all some stuff to do, make the wall look pretty. No, he didn't say that. He said, listen, look at the distress we are in. You see that? How Jerusalem lies waste. Its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us. Bill, now you go over there and Bill, I'm sit over here on the chair of rulership waiting for you all to get done so that I can present it to the king and say, see what the people have done. We have done greatly. No, no, no. He said, let us build. Now, that's a little frightening to some people. We have a person that we know who's in ministry, amen. Spends most of his time, or they spend most of their time trying to get people to come under them so that they can sit big, sit on top as the king, or sit on top as, you know, as a father. They don't understand that spiritual fathering and leadership takes work. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So they get people in, and instead of feeding the people, they get them in and try to give them titles and other things so people feel important. See, after all is said and done, after you get all this important title and everything else, you got to do something with that title.
Sure do.
What are we demonstrating to the world today when a man or woman in Christendom don't look Christian? And the problem is that they don't know what Christian should look like. See, when you go through this process, and this is why I like Nehemiah here, because he didn't say that this wall that has been torn down that you all have been living around. While I was over in the king's palace, y'all been over here in this mess. He said, look at the reproach that we are in. So let me come from the king's palace over here to where you are. Because trust me. If you were in the king's service, you wasn't living like a pauper.
Mm-mm.
because it would have made the king look bad.
Right.
So even though you were subservient to the king, you still lived in the king's service.
Amen.
Amen? And you have to understand that he wasn't living as a pauper while he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So the king's rations that he gave to his servants was enough to feed a nice little army by itself. Mm-hmm. Amen? So he was living well. When he came back to this, he left some things to come to it. Amen? And that's the beauty of a true ministry, is that sometimes God will call you from a whole bunch to a little bit just so he can get his glory out of the situation. You thought it was a demotion, but really it was a promotion in God. Amen? God knew that if he brought you in to do the job, because he allowed you to have a taste or the experience of what it is to be on that level. When you came to deal with this small situation, you wouldn't come down to the situation, but you would bring the situation up to you.
Well,
amen. Huh? So he's doing that here. He said, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that
we
may no longer be a reproach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then it says, and I told them of the hand of my God which hath been upon me, and also the king's words that he has spoke to me. So they said, and this is it, let us rise up and build.
Yes.
Then they set their hands to do this good work. Now, this is wonderful. Whenever we're doing something, you best believe that as you get ready to go forward, that as God's hand is upon you, people are going to be excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get shaken at that, amen. Don't get comfortable there, amen. Because you still haven't put a brick on the wall.
Mm.
You still haven't mixed the mortar, amen.
Yeah.
Huh? And while you're sitting there and the people are getting excited to do, there's always going to be naysayers amongst the people. People who have been sitting back talking all the time. People who have been back around the corner waiting on the opportunity, the right opportunity to show or say that the pastor has incompetency issues. You know, anybody can see we don't have enough money to be up in here trying to do this or trying to do that. We've been trying to do this for years and ain't nobody ever. And that's why I don't believe he's trying to move too fast. He's not trying to move too fast. He has an assignment, and the assignment has to get done. And the reason why God sent him in to do the assignment is because people who have been sitting there won't come up to the task. So God sends someone else, amen, who will do what needs to be done, amen.
Amen.
As they get there to do the work shall be done, amen, and God will get the glory, amen.
Yes.
Amen. So they're there, and they set their hands to do this good work. Then, Sanballat, amen, Tobiah, and Geshem, they heard it. Isn't it interesting as new ministries come in town and come in the region that the ministries would send out spies to see who they are and what they're doing, to know whether or not they're a threat or not. And then they'll begin to tongue-lash the ministry before it's even established,
mm-hmm.
so that their people won't go over that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you built up this wonderful network of, you know, me, myself, and I, and we're the only ones who have it, and ain't nobody else. And then when God sends somebody else in who has it and is walking in it, then you're afraid that they're going to shatter your illusion. So you begin to fight.
Your facade, you mean?
Yes. The problem is that all the time while you were talking about it, God had somebody else who was being about it. See, you can do just so much talking until there's no more talk left. Now, when you do all this talking, then you'll find out that after all is said and done, then put up or shut up.
That's
it. Sanballat, when we take this apart, you'll find out that he
had favor in the governor's house. Amen. Married in, but not really he was really a Jew. So even though he was sitting up in there with some of that stuff, and you'll find out if we went through this whole thing, that the high priest and everybody else, different ones, had given him favors because of who he was. Amen. Ammonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite official, wasn't Jewish either. Amen. Mm-hmm. He was not an Israelite. Amen. He was an Ammonite. Right, amen. Right, right. And because he was a neighboring official, he was afraid that they were going to strengthen themselves. Mm-hmm. Amen. And be able to stand up and defend themselves. Amen. Geshem the Arab, we don't even have to go there because you already know he was Arab. He was not Israeli. Amen. He was not a Jew. Amen. So these are the people who are surrounding them. And when they heard it, you know, the first thing they did was they come to discourage. Look what they did. When they heard it, they laughed at us. But not only that, and despised us. And they said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? In other words, we understand who the king is, and we know what he's done. We understand that if you start doing this, then he might feel threatened and come and take your stuff again and take ours too. So we don't want you doing nothing over there that might ruffle the waters. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have right now in some of the areas of Christendom, amen, is that if you try to do something, people will come and join with you as long as you're not doing greater than they're trying to do.
Exactly.
Huh? But when you're doing something that might threaten what they're trying to do, the first thing they want to do is try to shut you down. Amen?
Mm. Huh?
Because while you're doing that, you know, you're causing other problems. Y'all see that? Mm-hmm. And while you're causing other problems, that means that they have to come up to the standard. And Lord help us today. The problem is that we have too many shysters standing in the pulpit, and they don't want you shouting out the standard. Yep. I was sharing I was with a family friend of ours, and he was talking about the process that a certain ministry went through in order to get their current pastor. And it basically came down to, we tired of looking, he's there, just leave him in place. But the person that they left in place, once they were fully empowered, because they were interim, once they were fully empowered, they found out, you know, we should have did more checking up on this.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's people who get tired of the process and want to find a quick way out. Well, Lord, ain't we been in this long enough? Well, listen, let's go back to the lessons of what we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Children of Israel, God said, go forward. Will you move without question? Well, I think we need to look at, okay, you ain't ready for that answer.
Right, right, right.
Because you still feel that this is about what you can perceive out of your limited faculties called a mind. And God ain't asked you nothing about your ability to think for him. Hello, somebody. God ain't never asked you if you had the ability to properly, you know, figure out where he was going and why he was going there. You know, because once you do that, then you don't have to ask God nothing, because you got him figured out. Oh, we got a corner on God. I know God. I know God. Okay, you know God enough to follow him, but do you know God enough to follow him? See, we run into these type of situations often, amen, where people are so secure in their corner of God that they shut out every other prospect or perspective of him. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that God is not short and closed as some people are.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank God that he's open and he is good. Amen. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that they do here, 19 verse, Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah,
in Geshem, they laughed at him. And because we don't want to be ridiculed or scorned, we do everything to keep from being made fun of.
That's true.
We don't wear certain things out the door. And even when we do something, we talk about, I'm just playing and laugh with you in order to try. Because, see, sometimes that stuff you just did, you really meant that until somebody laughed. And then you laughed it off, too, as a joke. But if no one said nothing, you would have went down the street around the corner just like that.
Really, you would have.
Huh?
True.
Because you didn't see nothing the matter with it. But so that you can come into conformity with societal rules, you make sure that you're not a reproach. You're not a spectacle when you walk out the door. You see that? You take some time and look in the mirror, in other words. And you find out that one hair that you thought was laying down is standing straight up waving at folk.
Mm-hmm. True. Very true. So the whole purpose, amen, is that we gotta, people have a tendency to want to be liked by other people. We want to be accepted. We want to be accepted by people.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, in the process of our exception, we're willing to do whatever it takes in order to not stand out of the crowd, in order to not be different. Amen? But the challenge, amen, people of God, is that in the kingdom of God, the moment that you accept him as your Lord and Savior, the moment that God puts a purpose, an assignment in your heart, you're already different.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You are all... already different. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 4. Amen. Go out to the 6th verse. 4 and 6. Now go down to the 8th verse. It says, you are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings for fathers. For indeed I wish you did reign, that you might reign, we might also reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. Listen, we talk about this right here. People talk. People laugh. If you want to see something that is shocking, but a reality, just go on YouTube or any place else and look at how many people are putting praise videos, shouting videos. What are they called?
Praise breaks.
Okay, and see how many different shouting and praise break videos are on there. People just, doing anything. Now, I remember coming up, as a church kid, as a PK, we used to watch everybody in the church. And I don't mean everybody. We could do anybody shout. Anybody's hallelujah, anybody's tongue, anybody's thank you, or whatever else that was needed at any time. We could tell you who was getting happy, and we knew what was about to go on. There was Aunt Lorraine, Rogers, late Lorraine Rogers, Aunt Lorraine, when I was back home, younger though. I was still in my teens, I think. But every time that she got ready to praise God, she had a high-pitched thank you. So she would start off low. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it just kept going up. By the time she got to that top one, you know, when she worked herself up there, she going to be up there for about 10 minutes or so. Stop trying to fan her down. There's no water. There's no smell of salt or nothing else. So we in the Pentecostal church, we weren't using that know-how. Sure. But, you know, she got her breakthrough. But we knew when she was going for her breakthrough. Mm-hmm. So people don't like to be spectacled. They don't like to be laughed at. They don't like to be talked about. They don't like to be pointed out because they're different. So we go through life trying to conform or be in conformity with some type of norm, amen, so that we won't be the one that's setting out in front of everybody else, amen. And that's what we have here. Here they are. They're coming to do a work. And the first thing that happens is those people standing around them start laughing at them. Why are they laughing? Huh? Is it because it's funny or because that is a stress relief? I think it's the latter. Huh? Because when you look at what the king did when he came and subjugated the whole region. He's gone back and left people in charge, and we have made good with them, and we're living pretty good. And here you come talking about you the king's new boy, and we trying to get rid of you because you're going to mess up our thing. Mm-hmm. You see that? So let's try to break this down. I just want you to know we won't be quiet. We won't back down. We're not going away. God gave us a job to do. We're going to do the job. We're going to do the assignment that he's given us. And if you know like we know, you'll stop fighting the plan of God and get with his movement. Amen. And I said to them, see the distress, how we are. Sanballat and all them laughing. Will you rebel? Huh? What do you think you're doing? I told you we're looking at a couple of locations now for the ministry, amen. And as we're looking for them, I said, Lord, you know where we are, what we can do ourselves. But then there's what your will is. Lead us and guide us so we can do what you've called us to do. And if it's a small place, then we'll go in small. Despise not the day of small beginnings. If it's going to be a big place, go in big. You know, thank you, Lord, for your ability to put us in this place. Our first church in Ohio, 300-seater, amen. Yes. And no qualms about it. The high ceilings and the wood and the brick and everything. Thank God for what he gave us, amen. We're down here. They don't do them big like that. Everybody has a church, but these churches are more wider than they're taller, amen. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's okay, you know. Where we are, Lord, you get the glory out of this. Okay, so we're going to do what God gave us to do, the way he gave it to us. And regardless of who comes to derail, deride, you know, comes to despise, amen. You know, despise is an interesting word there, amen, because this despise simply says, that we can't stand you,
yep.
Period. Amen. Someone who despises you, amen, is despising you because there's some things that they don't like. It basically deals with contempt. Amen. You see that? It deals with to look down on with contempt or aversion. You see that?
Worthless,
distasteful. Can't tell you how many places we've been where people have tried to dishonor the gift of God, you know, that he's given us, the grace of God that's upon our life. And the more that they try to do it, the more we look at them and say, well, I wasn't called by you know how. I'm okay. Thank you.
You know, you have to deal with God for what you do concerning who he set up over you or who he's placed around you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Our job is to keep on doing what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to end. I'm just going, I'm not going to quit or finish this. I'm just going to quit here. After I read this, 21st, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will prosper us. Now, I keep saying this, and you keep hearing this, that God will bless you at the completion of your assignment.
At the completion.
You see that? So, as you're going along, God will protect you, but it is at the completion of your assignment that you actually receive the prospering for your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Therefore, his servants will arise and build. That's what God said do. We're going to do what God said do. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. In other words, what we're doing over here is concerning what God gave us to do. And this ain't your blessing. Have your opinion, but realize this is not your blessing. Amen? As we go forward and do what God has given us to do, there are certain things that have to be done. Just spoke with one of our spiritual sons over in Africa, and they need software. They need Bible softwares and Bibles and things like that so that they can continue doing the work that God has given them to do. He said, Dad, can you help us in this? I said, listen, I'll petition the people to see if they will respond and give. If they give towards this, then we'll be able to do something here sooner rather than later. But let's see what we can do. Now, I say that because I want you to understand there's work that has to be done. And the work is going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
The assignment has been given by God. And we say amen to him in his wisdom and the assignment he's given us.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling too. Amen? With situations like this, we can ask. That's all we can do. Go to the website, www.ctkr.org. There, you can hit one of the donate buttons and sow into this ministry. Let us know where you want your seed gift to go, and there we'll make sure it gets to it. Amen? But whatever God has given you to do, do that. Focus on that assignment.
Yes, sir.
Don't listen to the naysayers. Get the Sanballats, the Tobias, and the Geshems out of your ear.
Yes, sir.
So that you can clearly hear the Spirit of God as he speaks to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we're not done with this word, but we have laid a foundation for the things that we need to deal with concerning this word in the upcoming broadcast. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to hear this and to come in alignment with your will for our life.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord God, we rebuke you. You are a defeated foe. We bind every work right now. We speak wholeness in the lives of our hearers right now. We speak miracle signs and wonders to manifest healing, deliverance, provision right now in the name of Jesus. Send the resources. Make a way in the name of Jesus. And even if there's someone who's not saved, I pray that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church so that they may be developed and go on to do what you've given them to do. Now, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Listen, as I said, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about us. Become a vision partner with us.
Mm-hmm.
There's several things that we have going in ministry, and we need your support. We need your help, and we need your prayers. Amen. And whereas we can pray for each other, some things need finance. Amen. And we say that with the utmost respect and understanding that there are some things that we just simply need you to come into agreement with us on and help us to do. So go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you can donate and let us know where you want those funds to go, and we will work to get them there. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And I want you to know that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Thursday at 7. Amen.